Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer some nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and it's great to have you with me today. I don't know about you, but I've been loving the energy of the supermoon that closed August for us. Astrologers amongst you will know that it was a blue moon in Pisces, which made it time of heightened emotions and intuition, desire and inventiveness. Now, the effects of a full moon always last a few days either side. So if you're listening to this at the beginning of September, you might still be noticing a difference in your energy. And paying attention to your body and how you feel is very important for your well-being. Something that my guest today has a lot to say about. We'll hear from Maria Anderson, who's known as the Straight Talking Menopause Coach, later. But first, I want to draw your attention to what's happening in nature right now. Yeah, I haven't been able to get onto the veg patch this week, but I hear our tomatoes haven't ripened too well, so we might be looking at making green tomato chutney again. Note to self, get the tomatoes in much earlier next year. I've been noticing a change in the seasons, though, and enjoying seeing the hedgerows turn into nature's fruit baskets as a host of berries ripen around now. And one of the things I've noticed most is the rowan trees around where I live. They look gorgeous just now with their orange-red panicles of berries. Now, a lot of people think rowan berries are only good for feeding the birds, but we humans can benefit from them too. Our ancestors have used the rowan or mountain ash as medicine for thousands of years, probably. The berries are high in antioxidants and they've been used to help with things like stomach disorders, and then the leaves were used to make remedies for sore eyes and coughs and colds, amongst other conditions. You might be more familiar, though, with the berries made into rowan jelly. This was a great way to conserve the berries and their goodness in olden times, and these days people serve it with cheese or lamb, or just as a jam on bread. But talking of antioxidants, I've been trying out a glutathione supplement from a company called Numi. Glutathione is one of the body's most important and potent antioxidants. Our bodies do produce it, but our levels really can run low because of a number of factors like poor diet, chronic disease, infection, or constant stress. It also decreases with age, which contributes to the aging process that we all notice. So it's important to maintain a good level of glutathione, and we can get it from some foods as well as oral supplements, but it doesn't survive well in the gut. So this company called Numi have found a way around that problem by creating a supplement that bypasses the gut completely. And I've been impressed with the results, for me at any rate. Now, you can find out more about that, as well as the benefits of the rowan tree, if you head over to my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. Go and check it out. But not before we speak some more about the aging process. And part of the natural process of aging for women is the menopause. And a lot of us tend to believe that the only way to deal with symptoms is to go down the hormone replacement therapy route. But my guest today is adamant that HRT is not the only answer. Maria Anderson is the Straight Talking Menopause Coach. She spent 38 years within the NHS as a nurse, a midwife and a lecturer before setting up her own coaching business after suffering from menopause symptoms herself. She's concerned that we're always looking for ways to fix women going through the menopause and that we're too reliant on HRT. So I was delighted to find out more from Maria when we met online for a chat. I love the fact that you're called the Straight Talking Menopause Coach. We need a bit of that around menopause, don't we?
Absolutely. We absolutely do. It's long overdue, let's just say, JJ.
long overdue. Too many people just avoid, well, used to avoid the subject at all costs. Mm-hmm. But I think now we're beginning to talk a little bit more about it. But then one of your big messages is that HRT, hormone replacement therapy, is not the only answer when we hit menopause and have what we would consider to be issues, right? And some of them, let's admit, are quite extreme.
Yes.
But well, tell me how you look at menopause and, you know, what you coach people in when they're going through menopause.
So I coach women specifically. So what I would say is, and you're right, I do believe HRT is not the only solution. It has its place, but it's not the only solution. And I work with a lot of women who are taking HRT and they are still experiencing menopause symptoms. So there's something in that. There's something that actually it's not the only solution, because why would you still be, if it was the right product, if it was the right consistency, the right solution, why would you still be experiencing menopause symptoms? So I suppose my background as a working in the NHS is for 38 years. I'm curious. I'm always asking questions. And from my own experience, and I don't take HRT and did have quite severe perimenopause symptoms. And I got really curious on understanding, you know, looking at my own solution, what actually could I help women to translate once I'd actually realized it. So what I did was understand that HRT, it wasn't the first thing. What I noticed about my life first, and this is the real importance, and this is why I say what I do, is that a lot of women are juggling a lot of things and they are running around burned out and really have this really rushing around women syndrome, I would say, and feeling with, you know, and when I looked at that in more detail, what I really started to pick apart and understand for myself was that I really had high cortisol level. I was not prioritizing myself at all. And also I was eating all the wrong foods. And there were so many things that in this juggling, I was not paying attention to, and my energy was low. And these are the things that are transferable to other women, because when I found the solution for myself and then started to feel so much better, because I thought, oh my gosh, like I surely cannot be the only woman feeling like this. And am I the only person that has burned out working as an NHS worker in the midst of, you know, busyness as it is in the NHS? And I just thought, do you know what? When we get to a certain age, and by the time you're in your 40s, most women do have this, and I suppose it's a society as we are running it now, are running around and not paying attention to themselves at all, with their family, with their work, with their self-care. And I'm not talking self-care in terms of going for a spa. I'm talking in self-care as actually from a health perspective, as looking after yourself, attending appointments, you know, going for your breast screen and going for your smear test, all of these things. And so with all of the work that I did, I thought there are a lot of themes here and there are a lot of common factors. And for me, I see menopause and perimenopause as an opportunity to really start taking control and understanding hormones so you can optimize your long-term health. So this is very different to a message of HRT, if you take a pill and everything will be solved. It's not that message. And so that's why I have become very clear on what my messaging is right now.
Yeah. And sorry, I was going to say, and I want to talk about what women should be doing. But I love that you said something just there. When you talk about self-care, it's not just about going for a spa day. Because that's kind of the message that a lot of particularly women have been getting over the past, I don't know how many years, is that, you know, if you're feeling a bit under the weather, just go and have a spa day and pamper yourself, right? And have a massage. But that's never going to get to the root of the problem, is it?
And that's it. You know, I, and even, you know, as a healthcare professional, And recognizing that what is the outcome that I would really want to help women to achieve? It is joy, feeling joy, and also that they are feeling amazing when they are able to live a life in their perhaps 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and even 100 in the way that they wanted to live. And that means looking, optimizing your long-term health. So to be able to do that, it's a lot of precautionary measures. So, you know, so attending the dentist is self-care. Attending your breast screening is self-care. Doing your bowel screening is self-care. You know, your smear test is self-care. We hear all of these things, and it's not registering with women the seriousness of it. And seriously, if we really do want to, you know, live the life in your you know, at that, you know, later part of your life, if you really want to live a joyful life, then we need to pay attention to these, these assessments and moments in time where you are given an opportunity to check in with yourself and make sure that you've got good dental care, that you are picking up anything before there's a real problem. And I always say it's like almost like taking yourself up the river before you hit the waterfall. And you know, and this is and it's so common that and even with my friends and even for myself, I just thought, oh well, they are appointments that I need to go to, but I never really associated it with self-care.
Right. But and a lot of people would say that they tune in with their bodies, and they're kind of, you know, they know what's going on with their bodies. But I take your point. Not everybody is at that stage. And then what I want to hear from you is, what do women do? Or, you know, when you're getting to this point of menopause, we used to call it the change of life, didn't we? Although it's not that much change as such of life, but it's just your body's going through a change. What is it that women should be specifically doing in order to minimize the effects of menopause? And some women have very extreme symptoms. I know myself. I had it didn't last very long, but I had a short period where I used to wake up in a puddle in the middle of the night. You know, the night sweats are really bad for some people. Now, that didn't last very long, but it does for some women, right? So what are the things that women might do in order to minimize these symptoms and in order to make sure that they are as healthy as they can be beyond going and having all the checks done?
Prioritizing their self, number one. And this is the biggest first step for most women that I work alongside. And it is about taking a look at your life and paying attention.
Well, hold that thought for a moment, as it's time for a break. We'll be back with a lot more from Maria Anderson on that after these messages from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ Stenhouse, the practical alchemist, and my guest today, the straight-talking menopause coach herself, Maria Anderson. And before the break, Maria was talking about taking a look at our lives and paying attention. Here's why.
Because at this stage of your life, generally, a lot of women are not really paying attention because they are swept along in the busy, busy, busy and putting everybody else first. And what I find with a lot of women who I work alongside is that they really don't understand what is going on in their life. They don't understand what is causing the low energy. They don't understand how burned out that they are. And I didn't. And also are ignoring a lot of the healthcare or health signs and symptoms that that something is not quite right, and actually that their body is trying to tell them that everything is not okay, but in the busyness we're not noticing it, because when a lot of women are experiencing menopause symptoms, they feel, you know, they don't feel right. They don't feel like their self at all. But what ends up happening, this is, you know, this is quite common, is that a lot of women start numbing the pain or how they're feeling. And that can happen through alcohol. It can happen through drugs. It can happen through shopping. It can happen through lots of things that are distracting them from actually what is happening in their life. And so I always say, pay attention to your life. Start, imagine that you are looking through a window or a keyhole at your life. And what are you noticing? What are you noticing about your energy? What are you noticing when your energy is good? When you wake up in the morning, what is your energy level? If I was going to say a score out of 1 to 10, what would yours energy level be? And if you're anything less than a 5, then you're being told something. Is it because you're not sleeping? You know, because you're waking up with a low energy. Why are you not sleeping? And it's starting to look at your lifestyle. Because in all of the evidence, and certainly from the British Menopause Society and research that I've read, modifying factors play a huge part in women's experience of menopause and the outcome of their long-term health. So the modifying factors, as I've said, are, you know, how much alcohol, how are you living your life? And if you're running around with an energy level of 2 out of 10, and then your emotions, where are you spending most of your emotional time? Do you feel, and I always say, like a traffic light system, red, amber, or green? If you are in red emotion, which means that you can, you know, almost snap somebody's head off at just the slightest thing. And, you know, and people have a laugh and a joke about that with menopause. Oh, don't speak to her. You know, she's likely to snap your head off. But the other side of red emotion is I always call it frozen Frida, where women push emotions down and they use this mask as I'm fine. And we say I'm fine. So anybody asks you how you're feeling, I'm fine. Because what is the alternative of it is actually you have to, you know, you're showing emotion. And then what happens as society is when you show emotion, what can you be labeled as? Hysterical. And so women don't want to be labeled as hysterical. So they default into this, I'm fine. So if you find yourself saying, I'm fine, and, you know, agreeing and saying yes to everything, then, you know, I want you to ask yourself the question, you know, why is that? Why are you agreeing to everything? Why are you saying I'm fine? And just notice how many times that you're saying it. So notice the energy, notice your emotions. How much water are you drinking as well? Because hydration is a huge impact on menopause symptoms. And a lot of women, surprisingly, are not drinking water at all during the day. You know, you should be drinking, and it's about should. Recommended is that your liver, you know, that you're drinking 1.5 litres to 2 litres of water a day. And that actually will in itself very simply reduce some of your menopause symptoms purely from being hydrated. Sleeping as well, you know, as I said before, if you're not sleeping well, then how on earth can you expect your energy? But why are you not sleeping? Is it because you're on a phone, you know, scrolling half the night because you can't sleep? And what is your, you know, eating regime? Are you a grab and go kind of person with your food? Or how do you what relationship do you have with your food? So it's all of these things I would start paying attention to. Who are you surrounded by as well? And who is helping you? Or who do you feel when you're surrounded by? You feel amazing. And who is it that you, when you are in their company, you feel like you're drained of your energy. And, you know, a lot of menopausal women also have teenagers. It's just the way it goes at this time. I've got two teenagers myself. And sometimes this is, you know, not recognized as, you know, teenagers have got so many hormones and fluctuating hormones. And at the other side, menopausal women have decreasing hormones. So there is a clash, and this can be a huge energy. So if you find that you're falling out, your relationships, you're not feeling great in your relationships, perhaps with your partner, with yourself, what kinds of things are you saying to yourself when you're on your own? Is it things like, you feeling that you're not good enough? All of these things, how are you feeling? How are you talking to yourself? And so these are all the things I would say to pay attention. And if you, and it's uncomfortable, when you start paying attention, a lot of this is uncomfortable viewing, because you start thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't realize my life was this. But that's hard pill to swallow, because you think, well, what am I going to do about it? That's what am I going to do? And that's where I really help women to start to overcome obstacles, to start to really take small, simple steps to reduce the cortisol as well. We talk about stress levels. And if your life is, if you're continuously feeling that you can't take a breath, that you're busy, you haven't got time for yourself, then these are all trigger signs that are causing your menopause symptoms to feel a lot worse than they could be. And that's a real so if you feel that and you're hearing this and you're recognizing this in yourself, then I want you to ask yourself, what are you going to do now? Because you have the power to be in complete control of your life, even though that you don't realize that you are, and you think, oh my gosh, I can't even address some of these things, but you absolutely can. I did, and so many women do, and they feel amazing. It's hard, but I do always say, when you are prepared to be comfortable with being uncomfortable in the short term, in the long term, which is your health and your relationships and the impact of all of that on your life, it is absolutely worth your time.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about one of the things that you just said there, and that's a lot of women facing or going through menopause have got teenagers. Yeah. And so there's this massive cauldron of hormones going on here, you know, and fluctuating hormones, which of course is, could be a bit of a disaster. So, you know, these are the first things. It's pay attention to how you're feeling. Maybe then we're talking about life changes. So what are the simple things, you know, you've mentioned some of them. What are some of the other simple things that women can do? Just before we started recording this interview, we were talking about creativity and even just doing some needlework, which is a bit old fashioned these days. It's a meditation, and it really allows you to take yourself out of the day to day. And now, we're not saying that everybody's going to be a, you know, fabulous needle woman or person, but I guess it's finding other things that'll kind of move you on from the stresses.
Absolutely. And it is finding, this is why it's specific. So what will work for one person is not necessarily going to work. And that's why I always tap into and ask women, what is it that that you used to do that used to bring you joy and that you feel great? And a lot of women say, I don't do that anymore. And so it's about getting back into yourself and finding the things that you used to do that you really loved and tapping back into it. Because it's not just about, oh, I like to do that. It's got a purpose, because when you are doing something that you love, it increases the flow of oxytocin, which is the antidote to cortisol. So I think it's, The thing that I've learned is when you can align everything that you do and understand your life and realize the implications and alignment to hormones and how it has an impact, positive impact or negative impact on your hormones, then it starts to make sense for women. So it's not just about, I always think in hormones. So now if I'm, you know, sitting and so one of the things that I love doing is walking by the beach. And so I now live by the beach. Now, I didn't live by the beach and it might sound dramatic, but these are the steps that I took to really think, what do I love? I wanted to live by the sea. I love the sea. And a lot of women do. The sound, it actually reduces my cortisol. I feel like I've got so much oxytocin. It's the wind, it's nature, it's all of these things. And it combined, and I'm very fortunate at the end of my beach as well, I have a resident dolphin. So that is amazing. So all of these things, so you know, we can't all do that. But this is not, the other thing is what, it's not something that happened by chance. This is all intentional. I went and decided this is what I wanted. So it's about the plan as well. So thinking, tapping into what is it that you absolutely love? And maybe it is needlework. I used to do needlework. And if you think about in history where women sat down in a community and they shared experiences and they sat and they talked and they gathered and they you know, relaxed by doing whatever and achieved, you know, some people it's cooking, some people it's painting. I have a you know, a really good friend who is amazing at art, and she teaches this to help women realize that actually everybody has an ability to be creative, whatever that is. And you know, people say, oh, I used to bake and I don't do it anymore. Why do you not do it? Why not just try and do it again? And it's just tapping into these small things and recognize where you find joy. And it's different for everybody. That's exactly what you just said, JJ. It's different for everybody. And that's why a blanket approach doesn't work, because it's what is specific to you. And it's reconnecting back to yourself again. Some people it's reading, some people it's listening to music, some people it's going to a festival, you know, some people it's looking at art, whatever it is. And if you're not doing it, why not?
Yes, it's a good question. I think maybe, you know, when people get to a certain age, that midlife, they have got themselves into a bit of a rut in terms of getting the family sorted out, you know, looking after the family, doing the job, you know, if, being, it, you know, whatever their partnership arrangements are, just juggling all the balls to keep all that together. I think, you know, isn't that one of the issues with people these days?
Absolutely. And what women do or don't do is they don't prioritize themselves. So now I prioritize myself every single day because it was quite an emotional reaction for me. What's the alternative? And I actually can feel quite emotional. So what's the alternative? Why is this so important? And the reason is, for me, is I want to be here for my children for as long as I can.
Yeah.
And when you tap into the real why is this important, and it's not just about you're sitting down and actually, you know, doing some needlework or listening or taking that moment for yourself, when you can align it to this is about your health. And in fact, you're investing in your health by taking the steps right now to care for yourself, then you're going to be here for a lot longer.
Yes, we all need to take care of ourselves. Well, time for another break now, but there's more from Maria Anderson right after this from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. With me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest, Maria Anderson. And I wanted to pick up on her point before the break about self-care.
And it is interesting when you look at communities where there is, longevity. For instance, around where I live, you regularly hear about people who are 100 plus.
Yeah.
And, my own parents lived well into their 90s, and there is something about being close to nature and enjoying that and also food. I mean, do you talk about food to your clients, people that you work with?
Yes, absolutely. And just to pick up on your first point there, just about the longevity, there are actually blue zone areas around the world. And I talk about Ikigai and Akawana.
Yeah.
And there are specific areas around the world. And when you look at those blue zone areas, you can learn a lot about the people. So what are they doing? And a lot of it is around community, and a lot of it is around, lifestyle. And food is a huge part, and certainly from reducing cortisol as well. And you find that the people there, if you look at the research and you look at the themes and the characteristics of the people in these areas, they are they have this around nature. They have the way that the relationship that they have is with food is really important, and gut health is really important. So one of the things, and I do speak about it, it's related to everything, gut health. And that was the real, the third part of the puzzle for me, was I reduced my stress, cortisol, understanding it with the reproductive system and reducing my stress and exercise as well, but also gut health in how and what was my relationship with food. And I think a lot of women at this age have actually gone through the diet cultures, and I know that some people are still in it, and it doesn't work because it relies on willpower, and it might last for a few weeks before you go on holiday, but actually it's about getting a deeper understanding of what your relationship with food is and what you are consuming and how it is impacting your body in a way that you, and that's what I help women to understand, what's the relationship with food, what is actually happening. Most of us probably, if we are eating, just from all of the different external sources and what we are consuming, have probably got something called leaky gut, which is where our gut is not healthy. And so, okay, we accept this is what is happening, but how can we start to repair it? You can, by the things that you do, cortisol has been is a big one, but also how and what are you consuming? So one of the characteristics of a lot of these blue zone areas is Mediterranean diet. That's the diet that is recommended. But it's also about the 80-20 situation as well. It's not saying, I don't advocate women eating foods that they don't like. And also when you understand the mechanics of your gut and how it works, then you can adjust your practices, as in, how you snack and what kinds of things do you snack. And a good analogy is for a washing machine is that in terms of your gut, if you put a washing machine on, you wouldn't stop it like after about 15 or 20 minutes and then put more washing in. You would let the cycle go and you would let it run. And that's a similar kind of analogy that I would use for gut health, is that actually when you've eaten your food, then please let it process all the way through. I am a health professional. I can talk about poo. It's like, what is that actually, looking like? And there are categories of it. And when we can get comfortable with actually using that as a measure and looking at actually what is coming out the other side, then we can actually start understanding about your gut and know if you've got a healthy gut or the foods that are not agreeing with you either, because it'll be specific and different for other people. And also, you know, when your gut is not healthy, then this is where you have gaps. This is where you're likely to have irritable bowel syndrome, you know, and a lot of bloating, digestive issues. And all these things can be improved by improving and understanding your gut.
And that feeds into how bad or good your menopause symptoms are.
Absolutely. Because 95% of what, in a simple example, is 95% of serotonin is manufactured in your gut. Now, as your estrogen levels reduce and hormone levels change, it has an impact on your serotonin. But if you have a leaky gut, then it has to come from your food source, your serotonin, and it has an impact on your mood. So we find that a lot of women are being prescribed, and one study said 66% of women had been offered antidepressants when in the menopausal stage, when actually it could have been resolved with a bit more understanding, that it could be resolved through improving your gut health.
Yeah, yeah. The gut is hugely important in for everything in our, in terms of our health, isn't it? Yeah. And only recently has been recognized as such. And certainly it's something that when I was experiencing menopause, I never read anything anywhere or was ever told anything about how important the gut would be for you as you go through menopause. So it's great that this understanding is now to the fore, and that people can really do something about their health in every way by really focusing on their gut health. Yeah. Yeah. And so when you are working with people, is this the kind of thing you do? And I know you've got a podcast as well, haven't you?
Yes, I do. HRT is not the only solution.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do. So I ask women to, again, take a very, you know, clear understanding and actually keep a record of their gut. You know, what are they eating? You know, things, if you're eating processed foods, then I am going to tell you that your gut is going to be, you're going to have a leaky gut. So it's we're going in this vicious circle of almost, I suppose, in society that really to improve menopause symptoms, we need to come away from the convenience of, you know, the fast foods and take a pill and it'll be okay. It's actually that understanding of, okay, what I'm putting in my mouth is going to impact my mood, my menopause symptoms, all of my menopause symptoms. And so it's really really significant. And Hippocrates says gut health is actually the cause of all disease.
Yeah, but look, we're not saying that we're not trying to beat people up who eat a bit of fast food now and again, and none of us is perfect, but and it is work. See, isn't it? I mean, if you're somebody who's just used to grabbing something on the go, or, you know, eating a convenience food because that's all you've got time for, although I would question that, you know, that's all you've got time for, then, you know, we understand that. But if you are suffering from any of these symptoms, and if you do have an issue, then that's something that you really need to look at.
Absolutely. And I will say very clearly, it's not your fault.
You are
in this, you know, in this cycle of,
yes,
this is society. This is what you've been conditioned into. So please don't take me wrong as to exactly what you're saying. This is how society has conditioned you. This is the way of the world at this moment in time. However, you know, exactly what you're saying, JJ, is to think, if you are having an issue and you are really having menopause symptoms, it is something to consider. And it wasn't my first thing that I considered. My first thing was reduce my cortisol level, which actually does have an impact, a positive impact on your gut health. But it's not about starting with everything. And as an improvement science leader in the NHS, it's, we can't, and this is where women get into overwhelm when you try to do everything. It's actually start with one thing. So if you've, even if you start to look at your life, that's progress. If you start to ask yourself better questions, that's progress. This is something that is, you know, invest in. It's not going to be overnight that these things happen. But the great thing is when you start to take a step of action, invest that time in yourself, then it's great to know that you are, we are all work in progress. And whenever you start and whenever you do one thing, that's amazing. Give yourself that celebratory brain. Focus on the things that you're doing really well and don't be beating yourself up about the things that you've been conditioned into, because it's about unlearning, and it unlearning takes time.
So true. Unlearning really does take time, especially if you've got to the age of, you know, menopause and you, that's the way you've always lived, right? So, yes, it does take time, and you do have to have compassion for yourself, and everybody else hopefully would also have compassion. And talking of unlearning, you have your podcast, but you also run events, don't you? You've got one coming up, I think.
Yes, I do. I have. It's actually my first big event.
Exciting.
I'm quite excited. Yes. Menopause Unleash the Joy. And that is. Yes, I'm very excited about it. And that is going to, so I was asked to speak at, I was asked to speak at International Women's Day in a place called, Laggan, and beautiful in Scotland. And I went and I spoke, and I had such a great experience of just that community togetherness, that real sense of peace, tranquility, and also it was everything that I was, my values embracing, and I just thought this is a perfect location. So I am running I am running an event on the 18th and 19th of September, and I'm absolutely delighted to have incredible speakers, including Dr. Heather Curry, who is an MBE, and she is a gynecologist at Dumfries and Galloway. So she's local to the event, and she was the chair of the British Menopause Society, and she is very, very influential, and she is just a wealth of information and knowledge and expertise around menopause. She's passionate about it. And so it's great to be able to bring her as to headline the event alongside incredible speakers who are going to help women to start to unlearn and start to help them prioritize, signpost, support on all of these topics. And actually, I want women to come away from this. It's a combination between a conference and a retreat. That's how we call it, a conf-retreat. I've made it up. But
love it.
But you know, when you go to a conference, sometimes you come out and you feel exhausted.
Yeah.
I want women to come out and feel energized. So it's going to be the connection, the mm-hmm. conversations, the networking, and feel supported. So you come away feeling supported and have a menopause plan together that is specific to you, that you come away and you think, actually, I am going to do this, and you've already started by attending the conference. So so it's going to be amazing, and we're going to have clinics. I've got Paula Essen, who's a physio, and experts in their area. I've got lots of people who are experts in their own area. That's not my expertise. She is going to talk about omega-3. She's going to talk about fascia and hormones. And she's also going to do a joint pain clinic as well. So women can get specific support. I want women to get that specific support. And a lot of, also there's the other people that are coming, are a lot of business owners, because recognizing that that menopause affects everybody and affects women in business and affects everybody in business, to be honest, with a million women leaving the UK workforce every single day, every single year in the UK because of menopause symptoms.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
Serious business. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds great. So only left for me to ask you, where do people find out about it?
So I have, am I able to give you the link? Yes. So if you went into mariaandersoncoaching.com, it's on my website, and you will see the details there. And I'll be delighted if any of your listeners, especially in Scotland, would love to come and join us. It's going to be a one-off. It's not going to be a one-off. It's going to be the start of a different approach to menopause and perimenopause.
I love that. And I love that you're actually actioning a different approach to conferences as well, because you're absolutely right. How many of these have you gone to and you come away just absolutely feeling drained? You just want to die because it's so exhausting. Yeah. So I love that. I love that. You're practicing what you preach, aren't you? You're saying, let's look after yourselves.
And the accommodation, the snugs, or snugs on the hillside. So It is everything. And I do practice what I preach.
Yeah.
It's really important to me. And if you come away with one step of action, which is you are going to do something about whatever's going on in your life and reduce your menopause symptoms, then that's amazing.
I love it. I love it. And I love that you've come on the show to talk to me about it, Maria. I think that you're doing some great work. And long may it continue. And long may we continue to talk about menopause, which for too long has been a taboo subject. It's been swept under the carpet. But it is coming out now. And thanks to people like you. So thank you so much for everything that you do. And I'll look forward to hearing how it all goes. At the
Thank
conference,
so
the conf retreat. That's right, isn't it?
It's a made up name, but you know, if we're gonna change the approach, then we need to change the name as well.
So exactly. Yeah, the language has to change accordingly. Maria, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So there you are. If that's an event that you feel drawn to, head over to mariaandersoncoaching.com and book yourself onto her Unleash Your Menopause Joy event. I'm sure it'll be a great experience. And on that note, we're near the end of the show, but before I go, I must quickly mention that apparently it's World Coconut Day on September the 2nd. Now, that's a new one on me, but I do love everything about coconuts, and the oil isn't just great for cooking. I use it on my skin too. You'll find a blog post about that on my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk, along with the other information that I've talked about in the show today. And while you're there, why not subscribe to my newsletter to be the first to get some great content, or find me as The Practical Alchemist on Instagram and Facebook. Remember, you can listen to all our shows on all the main podcast platforms these days. If you like what you hear, or if they've helped you, do help us spread the word by sharing them. Also, if you haven't already, I'd love you to check out the show I co-host with psychiatrist and coach Dr. Mark Goulston here on UK Health Radio. It's called Hurt Less, Live More, and Mark and I share experiences, anecdotes and wisdom with some great guests who've had the courage to feel into their feelings and heal. Thank you for listening today. I hope you'll join me for more alchemy here on UK Health Radio and the UK Health Radio podcast another time. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.